As human beings, we are free. Free to love, to hate, to fight, to kill. This freedom is found in every living person on this planet. There is no one person more powerful than the other. Only the one with the most will is the strongest. Height, weight, physical appearance, none of these things matter. The only thing that matters is your mind. The question then becomes, are you the type of person who can summon their power at will?
Yes, on any subject, do you have the will? That is the bottom line. Do you have the will? And does the white race have the will anymore? Or is it tired and want to rest and go to sleep? We'll see. I'm betting on the primeval basis for the race and the ruthless nature that's down deep inside that under the right conditions will explode. That's where my money's at. It may be a while before it exhibits itself, but when it does, Katie bar the door shut, there's a man under the bed. White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance radio calling. White Aryan Resistance radio calling. This is Terrible Tommy in the bunker right here in north central Indiana, where it is an overcast day, but it's warming up. May get a little rain, but that's all right. We always can use the rain. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. That's where you send your donations. And if you have it for this month for your show, I'm sorry to tell you, you may get cut off. Okay. Well, anyhow, also, you can, in the meantime, since we have this problem with PayPal, you could send your money, your cash check or money orders to 1134 South Ferguson Road, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581, and just send it to Tommy, Tom Metzger, and I'll get it, because we're way out here in the country, but we still have a mailman. Yeah. In the meantime, if I can pick up another service similar to PayPal that's not such tight asses and not going to respond to just anybody calls them on the phone and complains, well, I'll do it, and I'll let you know, okay? I don't see why cash check or money orders can't work out. We used it for years, but anyhow, we'll see what happens. You know, I'm somewhat amused to watch all this television coverage of this, I don't know what you'd call it. They call it terrorism. I don't know whether I'd call it terrorism or guerrilla warfare or unconventional warfare or payback or what. But it's interesting to watch and listen because now they're fortifying, at least temporarily, everything. Yeah, they're going nuts. But they don't seem to understand a single or a couple of people that are bent on doing something nasty. It's almost impossible to stop them. And the more you try to put up barriers to stop them, the more they come up with something new, something different. They're trying to, all of this stuff they're talking about on radio and TV is just to calm the public down because they're so scared. And, well, in a way, if you're living right next to a train station or an airplane terminal, it might be a little scary, you know. I don't think if you're out in the farmlands of France or the United States, like I am, you got to be too worried about it. I'm more worried about some asshole drunk going across the center line and hitting me head on, or somebody throwing a match and setting the woods on fire, or something like that. You're far more likely to be in a horrible automobile accident than be attacked by a terrorist, so-called terrorist. I don't like the word terrorist. If it wasn't so overused, I wouldn't mind, but they want to cover everything with the term terrorist. Pretty soon, any little thing, even, you know, like I'm a thought terrorist. Yeah, I'm a thought terrorist. Pretty soon, boy, they'll be hauling thought terrorists away. In fact, they already have some. But it does not do any other good unless you just happen to be lucky and catch one of these guys. Of course, the way they run the immigration thing in Europe, it's no wonder. I mean, there is no protection. And there's no protection here. I mean, anybody wants to come across that border or come through on an airplane. Most of our invaders are coming through by airplanes and then put their stuff together after they get here. I mean, they wouldn't carry it on the plane. But anybody that's up to no good can easily just fly into the country, any place in any big city, and get an apartment and then go about putting their stuff together. It's not that hard to do. So when they say they're going to handle this problem, they're full of shit. They're full of condensed horse shit. They can't handle it. As long as the people who are doing it have the will and are determined to do it and are determined to keep coming and coming until the cows come home, it's going to happen. The only reason it hasn't happened big time here is because it takes quite a bit of travel to get from these places over here, from the Middle East and North Africa and so forth. South Americans, they could get here pretty easy, but it has been quite a while since there's been any significant emergence of people like that from South America. Usually they're fighting each other down there. Che Guevara, he's been dead a long time. So, but as time goes on, if the Europeans really, you know, get rid of this goddamn EU and put their borders up around their countries and get hard nosed like the National Socialists did about these things, not making the same mistakes that the National Socialists did in World War II, but to protect your nation, protect your bloc, protect your home, and really get hard-nosed about it. The Europeans get that all set up. England get out of the EU. Well, then I think you'll see a lot less of that stuff in Europe. And you won't see any in Russia, very little in Russia. In fact, Russia learned its lesson in Afghanistan, I think. Well, they stiffen up there in Europe and get back to common sense, then there's going to have to be a whole avalanche of these guys coming to the United States any way they can get here, because they would like to have a big score. They haven't had a big score since 9/11. No matter who did it and why they did it, we know there was some Middle Easterners involved. But anyhow, be that as it may, their big target score for propaganda reasons would be the United States or someplace, big city in the United States or something like that. So we'll see how it goes, and I wouldn't, anything could happen anytime. I've said ever since 9/11 and even before, this country is ripe for that kind of stuff. They don't need sophisticated weapons or airplanes or anything like that. I mean, there's dozens and dozens of ways to cause havoc in a country. you know, with the railway system, the electrical system, all that kind of stuff. And we're just really, really, really lucky that they hadn't figured that kind of stuff out and followed right on through after 9/11 and started working. Hell, they can throw flares out the car window in the wheat country and things like that. Just basic scorched earth stuff, you know. There's a million ways. I'm not going to say all the ways you can do it because I know they'll be saying, you're advocating that kind of stuff, Metzger. We always knew you were a terrorist. No, I'm not advocating it because I don't have to advocate it. It's coming. And there's thousands of people out there chopping at the bit to do it. You don't have to do it. I don't have to do it. But it's going to keep going as long as the military-industrial complex and Wall Street cooperate, making a fortune off weapons and having regime change and driving people out of their countries. They're going to get pissed off and they're going to want to come get you. And there's nothing I can do to stop it, nothing I can do to start it. It's coming. But who am I? And who are you? We're just little lone wolf nobodies. We don't know anything. They go to these phony right-wingers, racists, and Hollywood neo-Nazis and Hollywood Klan. They want to interview those kind of guys. Well, I'll tell you what, we just got to kill every Arab there is, and that's all we're saying, and just keep bombing the shit out of them, and we got to kill all the niggers. And while we're at it, just get some of those Jews, and that'll solve the whole program. Wrong. We're the problem. All the rest of those people are side issues. And if we didn't have a problem of our own race, they wouldn't have any hold at all on us. So, how many people can you get to admit that? I hear this, some of these right-wing radio shows they lead off with, and this is America, the greatest country that ever lived in the history of man. I hate when people say that. I don't believe any country can boast like that. Sure as hell, Rome was much more powerful in per capita in their day. But that United States exceptionalism drives me up the wall, same way as phony patriotic songs and like that. There's a couple of songs that a lot of times I go out to do karaoke that they want to sing, stand up for America, and all that bullshit. It sounds, you know, there was a day when I used to say, boy, that's great. I used to sing with the best of them. But I found out it's all plastic, just like the Chinese said back, about 30 years ago, the United States is a paper tiger. Paper tiger. Now, there's something else that really galls my ass, is this little, what's his name up there in North Korea? Ching Chao Ping Pong? I don't know. But anyhow, I do know his name, but I forgot it. He's up there. He's doing his thing. And the people of North Korea are allowing it to happen. Not only because he'll kick their ass if they get out of line, but also a lot of people like that. I mean, sheep like to be led. And I think a good share of the people in North Korea are perfectly satisfied with the system up there. But even if they weren't, he's got a perfect point when he says, well, I'm building these rockets to defend myself because the United States and South Korea come over here to our shores and have military operations and training just like training for an invasion of my country. What do you expect me to do? That's what I say. The United States military-industrial complex goes all over the place doing provocations. when you get hundreds and thousands of troops and planes and boats armed to the teeth having practiced drills on invading a country, and then when the leader of the country says, well, I think I better build a few rockets here. I better have some defense. If you just leave the little bastard alone, he'll have his own desserts. Somebody will assassinate him, one of the generals or something. You don't have to mess around with North Korea. And if Americans go over there and understand how the country's run and get arrested and thrown in prison, don't saber-rattle and whine. I mean, Americans go all over the world and they get caught up in these things and get arrested and get sent to prison for decades. And they whine and cry. Most of those Americans aren't even white. These are these so-called new Americans that have immigrated to the United States and got a citizenship. They're not white, most of them, and then they go back to their country of origin and try to raise hell. And then our State Department goes, oh my God, these Americans, they're mistreating these Americans. Well, I guess they are Americans, but they're not Aryans. So I tend not to give a shit about anybody that gets caught up and jailed overseas that's not an Aryan. That doesn't mean I'm for necessarily jailing these people, but they're stupid. They're stupid, like they used to say down in Africa. They used to say white people go down there and they add a lot of protein to the nigger diet when they boil them in a pot or a long pig and haul them around on tent poles and stuff. If you stick your head in the lion's mouth, you better expect that he's going to want to chomp. And you better get your head out of there. You can't do anything for people like that. Don't try. There's a lot of right wingers that do some of the stupidest damn things, and even the ones that call themselves racist, they'll do the stupidest stuff in the world and get sent to prison for 10, 15, 20 years. Well, Dennis Mahan's a good example. Now, he was a friend of mine, but he did stupid things. He shouldn't be in prison if he hadn't done stupid things. And I told him, he knows well, I totally throw out his activities as being stupid. But I'm going to support him as a friend. He was a friend over the years, and he did a lot of good work before he went off the rails. We got to let these people know that if you're going to go out there and do something stupid, that you're going to get caught anyhow, then there's nothing we can do for you. And that's it. We can send you letters and mail. I'll send you a book in prison. Send you a few bucks if you did it in the name of race. But that's it. Don't expect me to make you a hero. No, you're not a hero. Well, let's see what else we got to talk about. Hey, it's time for the Pessimist Guide to History. Yeah. Oh, one more thing. This Duke thing is just getting totally out of control. Now, if you knew Duke like I knew Duke, and I hate to go on and on about Duke, because to me he's a non-person, but he has a way of operating and making a living to where every once in a while he'll get something going where he can jump onto it, a news thing like this thing with Trump, and then ride it into the ground. And it's simply to renew his mailing list. We used to call it the sucker list. And so he gives a whole bunch of fresh blood that writes to him, and he gets they get on his mailing list, and that's his meal ticket, and when he's gone through a whole bunch of people on one list, well, it's getting the money starts slowing down, so he has to have something new, some big news thing, so he can redo that mailing list, or have some Jew ghostwrite him a book and put that book out, and all the dummies go, "Oh my God, that's a wonderful book." Not knowing that it's most likely that he didn't write one page on it. So, anyhow, I'll leave that alone. I know you get tired of hearing it, and I get tired of saying it. So, that's it. Okay, 1848. A lot of things happened in 1848. There was revolution going all over Europe. Incredible tale of the Omega, the British immigrant ship Omega, with 345 passengers and crew aboard, lost her mast in a severe storm in the Atlantic in February. In danger of foundering, the Omega transferred nearly all her passengers and crew to three passing vessels. One of those vessels subsequently sank in heavy seas, taking 115 people to their deaths. A shortage of water resulted in the deaths of 70 others. Rescued passengers, they ran out of water. The Omega, meanwhile, returned safely to port. I think there's a lesson there. The captain, no doubt, remembered the phrase, "Don't give up the ship," because all the people that stayed on the ship were saved, and all the ones that were rescued died. 1848, a great fire in Constantinople. Flames spread rapidly through a fruit bazaar in Constantinople, the capital of the Ottoman Empire. Used to be Istanbul, what? Is it Istanbul now? I don't know, I forget. And eventually destroyed about 2,500 shops. Some 200 people died in the blaze. Well, that's not too big a disaster. 1849, steamboats burn in St. Louis fire. Fire swept through the downtown district of St. Louis, Missouri on May the 17th, destroying 15 city blocks. The city docks along the Mississippi and 27 steamboats that were moored there. You notice how many of the disasters of the old days was fire. They didn't have adequate means of putting these fires out like we do today. And we don't get them out too well today. Here, just not too far from where I live, a man burned to death yesterday. His house caught on fire, and it became totally immersed in fire. And he had five dogs in the house, and he went back in to try to save his dogs, and the dogs burned up, and so did he. There's quite a bit of that. Senior citizens usually get very attached to their animals, almost like many times like a human being. And I don't blame them, but, you know, there's a time you can't do anything, and you're just going to have to bite the bullet. But once a fire gets started pretty good on a house, you're not going to save it. You can put all the water you want on it, and you're not going to save it. 1864, which reminds me, my father, who was an engineer and sort of an engineer scientist, who worked at Caltech in California and later worked for the naval weapons people and designed several items for the Navy, when they were having these big fires up in the Northwest, one time he wrote a little letter to the editor of the local paper where he lived. And he said, you know, if you took small rockets, guided rockets, and guided them right into the middle of the fire, and they exploded, it would suck all this air out. And so it put the fires out, or at least put them to where you could manage them. He regretted he ever wrote that letter because he got so much criticism. Everybody They tried to even make it a joke that he never wrote another letter to the newspaper. I should have learned from him. 1864, the Taiping Rebellion kills millions. Now here we got, this is really heavy stuff. After reading Protestant tracts distributed by missionaries, Hung Hu Chao Wan claimed to have a vision in which God revealed to him that he was the younger brother of Jesus Christ. There's that Jesus stuff. And was destined to save the world. After several years of preaching, Hung began to put his vision into action. See how it's that pseudo-Judaism, they spread it all over the place and caused trouble. In 1847, his followers formed the God Worshippers Society, a religious and military movement. Oh, God. Religious combined with the military? Boy, that's bad. That's disaster. Hung taught a religion made up of a peculiar blend of the Old Testament Christianity and Confucianism, calling for a joint ownership of property, equality between men and women. Oh, equality between men and women. Boy, that's really going out on a limb. Redistribution of land and wealth. Oh, wow. That's going to cause you a problem. And a strict morality that forbade gambling, alcohol, tobacco, opium, and all forms of luxury. Well, what the hell are people going to do? I mean, that's the trouble with extreme religion. The Muslims do the same thing. I mean, if you're a hardcore Muslim. Yeah. Within 3 years, Hung's movement had attracted some 30,000 devoted followers, among them peasants, miners, unemployed boatmen, bandits, and others disaffected with the Qing regime. In 1850, Hung declared the founding of a new dynasty of great peace and called himself the Heavenly King of the Heavenly Kingdom. The bloody Taipei Rebellion had begun. In July 1850, the rebels began taking control of the Guangxi province. Village after village fell to the rebellion, and by the beginning of 1853, rebels had conquered the provincial capital of Hubei. With each success, Hung's army grew, soon swelling to more than 1 million fanatically devoted soldiers. In March 1853, the triumphant rebels sailed down the Yangtze River aboard a massive armada to Nanking, the second largest city of the empire, conquering the city and renaming it Capital of Heaven. I'll bet you never heard of this stuff and never were taught any of this stuff in school, huh? Suddenly, it appeared that the Qing dynasty itself might collapse. If Hung had attacked Beijing and Shanghai immediately, that might well have happened. Instead, he remained in Nanking to celebrate the victory. Not long thereafter, a small expeditionary force was defeated before reaching Beijing. For 3 more years, the Taiping Rebellion raged throughout China. 600 walled cities fell to the rebels, and 16 of China's 18 provinces suffered invasions. Hung's troops looted their conquest and abandon and destroyed the temples, pagodas, and countless religious treasures. Sounds a little bit like ISIS, doesn't it? You know, religious fanatics. The rebels ultimately managed to alienate Confucians, thus undercutting their attempts to win sympathy throughout China. Hung also failed to set up an orderly system of government within the provinces he conquered. Meanwhile, internal dissent within the movement was also getting out of hand. Hung's chief supporter, Yang Huixian, began claiming to have visions in which God, here's God again, spoke directly to him. In 1856, his brother was the one hung low. Finally had Yang assassinated by Wei Changhui, a king serving him in the north. Wei slaughtered thousands of Yang's supporters as well as Yang, and Hung was forced to order Wei's assassination. Then came a disastrous defeat in 1860 when the rebels tried to conquer Shanghai. And by July 1864, their armies were driven to surrender at Nanking. Hung, faced with defeat, committed suicide, and nearly 100,000 of his troops did so as well, in a bloody end to a bloody rebellion. They didn't even have to drink Kool-Aid. In all, the 14-year revolt claimed a total of about 20 million lives throughout China. 20 million lives. And the Jews crying all the time. Give me a break. The rebellion severely weakened the Chang dynasty, and Chinese communists today look to the rebellion as a forerunner to their own. All this carnage in the name of the Great Peace, a case of too many people having visions. Maybe they were really delusions of grandeur. That's what this crazy-ass religions get you into. Now, transplanting Christ's insanity to China really fucked things up, as it does everywhere in the end. Oh, of course, the proponents of Christianity would never admit to that, because they're peaceful. They're people of peace. Even the fake Jesus said, I come bringing a sword for destruction and stuff like that. Well, anyhow, that's it for today. That was a long one, but it was a million people died. Did it say a million or 2 million? Okay, that's it. We'll go on to something else now. That's got to make you real thrilled. I don't know why, but... all I can recommend to you is when you come into contact with anybody that's praying or down on their knees to spooks in the sky, or some guy that says he talks to Jesus, I've run into quite a few. And like I told you before, I ran into a woman out in California that's, she worked in a hardware store, and I got to talking to her, and she said she talked to Jesus every morning before she came to work. I said, would you mind if I come over and have coffee, and I want to talk to him too? Well, she said, I don't know about that, how that would work. I said, well, if you're talking to him there at your kitchen table, why couldn't I come over and talk to him too? Well, that never panned out. She never quite invited me over to have coffee. You run into anybody that sees visions like that, anybody that's praying to spooks in the sky, anybody that's putting their whole life and future in the hands of Christ insanity, or Jew insanity, or Muslim insanity, or wing dang boom Chinese insanity, go on down the road and just leave me alone, boy. Get out of here. If somebody comes to your door peddling that stuff, be as nasty as you can. But the best thing I've ever found that keeps them away, these Jehovah's Witnesses, Jobies, you just come to the door stark naked when they come. And believe me, they'll never come back. Oh, yeah, one thing I'd like to say, since I put the address of the bunker on the radio show, don't anybody just show up at the bunker, because if you do, you're not getting in. I'll go with you. We'll have a cup of coffee at a local restaurant or something like that, but nobody is allowed into my house, into the bunker. That's just the way I operate. So if you do happen to want to talk to Tommy or have a cup of coffee with him, you give me a message and we'll talk it over and make arrangements to go to lunch or something like that. Yeah, that's no problem. But don't show up at the bunker. You're liable to get shot. Well, let's check on the hate crimes. Yeah. This is from the Fresno Bee. A coach at Yosemite High School has been targeted for a hate crime, where three of his family's vehicles were vandalized, including one covered in feces, that's shit, and foul-painted messages like a phallic object with the word Trump inside it. Must have been quite an artist. On March the 20th, JV soccer coach Victor Salazar, one of the proud mestizos of the town, returned from a weekend vacation in Bakersfield to his family's home on Pierce Drive in Oakhurst and saw his father's Chevrolet Silverado truck sprayed with mustard and wrapped in plastic. His mom's Subaru was also vandalized in a similar fashion, Salazar said, and some penises were drawn on the car as well. I don't see why that's a hate crime. That's a sex crime. According to the Madera County Sheriff's Office, someone wrote on the truck, "Go back to Mexico, you filthy mestizo, and cut my grass better." The other vehicle had "Go back to Mexico" scrawled on it. Salazar said both acts appeared to be a prank, which his family laughed off, cleaned up, and didn't report it to authorities. However, around 12:30 a.m. Monday, witnesses reported chasing off two suspects vandalizing Salazar's Volkswagen Jetta with hate-filled messages. Wow. The suspects were described as two males clad in black, with one heavy in weight and about 6 feet tall. In other words, he was fat, and the other a thin build, around 5'6" tall. He was shorter than I am. The Madera County Sheriff's Office, which is investigating the situation as a hate crime, asked anyone with information to call. Now, if you see these guys in black running around, you call that old sheriff at 559-675-7770 and take care of the situation. You know, the whole country is a snitch culture anyhow. Informing is the national sport in this country. Among the vandalism was a foul slang term for homosexuals. I guess that's fags, huh? What do you think? As well as "Go back to Mexico," "Merry Christmas, bitch," and more. Salazar, who graduated from YHS in 2014 and took up coaching the JV boys soccer team last year, said he couldn't understand who had performed such hateful crimes. I was very loved by teachers and students. I even had sexual intercourse with several students, Salazar said. And now I started coaching at the high school. I was even more loved. And the more I think about it, I cannot picture who would have done this. It just don't make no sense. On social media, many in Oakhurst area expressed their support for the Salazars and hopes that authorities locate the suspects soon, especially if they're white. Quote, "I hope one day before you die, you look back on your actions and realize the errors of your ways," unquote, David Goodman wrote. "You must not like the baby Jesus," saying he forgives the offenders. Quote, "I hope before you leave the earth, you can finally see the general good in people you hate today. It's so sad you're in a state of perpetual hate and you can't see this." "I feel sick," unquote, said Natalie Perra. "I can't believe that people like this live around here. It's pitiful. There ought to be a law." Salazar said he was able to clean the paint off his car, but the vehicle suffered heavy dents. Well, if they quit making these goddamn cars so cheap, made plastic and everything, you wouldn't have that problem. You wouldn't have that problem with a 70s car or a 60s car. Sheriff's Lieutenant Bill Ward said the crime was unusual for Madera County, and the extreme vandalism would not be tolerated. We will not tolerate this. Hate crimes are incredibly unusual for this area, and in the county, Ward said, we're definitely working to find whoever did this. However, we do have a lot of problems with straight rapes, high drug usage, man and wife beating on each other, but those are not serious. This is serious. That's right. Well, okay, that's the end of that hate story. Well, here's another hate crime. Let's see if I can bring up the audio on this. Just a minute here. You think I'm being silly? Well, you know, you gotta have a few laughs, you know. Get too
sick. Oakhurst are in juvenile hall tonight after deputies say they committed a hate crime that targeted a local JV soccer coach. Action News reporter Christina Fan spoke to the victim, who says he doesn't know the two suspects or why they showed so much hatred.
The dent right over here, I don't know if you can see it or not. It's this one right here. And then Trumple, like, roll over here.
After a long weekend getaway, Victor Salazar came home Sunday afternoon hoping to catch some sleep. He never got that chance.
I've been living here 10 years. What is it, 10 years? About 10 years since I've been playing soccer, and then all that time I was like, oh, I could never think of anything like that happening.
The Yosemite High School soccer coach says his cars were egged, his yard teepeed. He thought it was a prank, but then the vandals struck again later that night.
I'd never thought about it, like someone would hit me, like target me.
The Madera County Sheriff's Office says it's investigating the incident as a hate crime. Among the paint, mustard, and feces strewn over the car, racial and homosexual slurs were also written. The one on the left side of the door, Victor says, was the most hurtful of all.
They wrote, go back to Mexico. That's just taking it way, it's beyond a prank.
More perplexing than the crime are the two people allegedly behind it. Victor says one of the suspects called him Tuesday, a high school student, confessing to the crime.
When she told me about it, I was like, how? I've never met her in my life. I don't even know who she is.
Deputies made two arrests Tuesday night. Both of them are teenagers. Victor says he coaches soccer at the same school the two girls attend, but doesn't know who they are.
She said, I'm sorry. I was like, a simple sorry is not going to really do it.
For now, he's just searching for answers, wanting to know why he felt so much hate from two complete strangers. In Oakhurst, Christina Fan, ABC 30, Action News.
Well, there you go. There's some two she-wolves out there after the Mexicans. How about that? Well, girls, you're going to have to be a little smarter about that stuff. I don't think that does a lot of good, but I don't know. Who knows? Because all the white Christians have come out sympathizing with them, and most of that kind of stuff backfires if people do it. And if they catch you, you go to jail and get a record and all that kind of stuff. You got to think these things over. Well, here's an interesting story out of Orange County up in Southern California. For once, it's a non-white that gets charged with a hate crime. Santa Ana, California, a woman suspected of stealing three statues from a Buddhist temple in Santa Ana was charged Tuesday with a hate crime and other offenses. Tang Thu Pham, 46, of Santa Ana, was arraigned Tuesday in Orange County Superior Court on one felony count of grand theft and vandalism of a religious property with a sentencing enhancement for committing a hate crime. Wow. If convicted, she faces a maximum of 6 years in prison, prosecutors said. Between February 26 and March 6th, Pham is accused of taking three Buddha statues from the Chow Truk Lam Yen Tu Buddhist Temple at 1924 West 2nd Street in Santa Ana. Police valued each statue about 2 feet tall at $1,000. In a separate incident, Pham was convicted in 2015 for repeatedly vandalizing a large statue of Buddha at the Hong Tish Buddha Temple in Santa Ana. she's a naughty girl. But at least it's a non-white getting charged with a hate crime. It's hard to believe. She must belong to the Southern California Hollywood Klan. They're pretty liberal about letting people in. Well, 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 here's an interesting story in the Washington Post. Headlines, "The Horror in Brussels is a Rebuke to Trump's Foreign Policy." That looks interesting. Let's look into that a little bit. The terrorist assault on Brussels Tuesday, just 4 days after the arrest of an architect of last year's attacks in Paris, underlined the resilience and the continued menace of the Islamic State to Europe, to the United States, and to vital Western interests. Whatever that means. Vital Western interests sounds like capitalism. It also revealed a crucial divide among U.S. presidential candidates about what this country must do to protect itself. They're going to get us, man, they're going to get us. On one side are those who support the internationalist response of President Obama, who said the United States, quote, will do whatever is necessary to support our friend and ally Belgium, unquote, which means absolutely nothing, and who asserted that we must be together, regardless of nationality or race or faith, in fighting against the scourge of terrorism. We need more race mixing. That'll solve it. We need more spooks in the sky. That'll solve it. That view is broadly shared by Democrats Hillary the Witch Clinton and Bernie Sanders and Republican John Kasich. Incidentally, John Kasich's record in Ohio is anything but what he purports it to be. I think I recorded an interview about that. If I can find it, I'll play it for you. They got him as a moderate. John Kasich is no moderate. He's no moderate to working class or white working class or the unions or anything like that, or to the school teachers. He's anything but that. Well, against them is the radical isolationism of Donald Trump. Radical isolation. They always make isolationism bad. To be separate and mind your own business is bad. We got to be in everybody else's business. That's good. From whom the Brussels bloodshed prompted another call to close up our borders. Oh, no. No. Just let every homicidal maniac come into your country. And love them. We have to love them and not build any fences or anything. And who on Monday questioned the value of the U.S. support for NATO allies such as Belgium. You know, that's the one thing that he said, Trump said that I agree with. We need to limit our involvement in NATO. NATO is a pain in the ass, and the United States military-industrial complex just uses NATO as an excuse to go kick people's asses. Though the GOP rival Ted Cruz rejected Mr. Trump's position on NATO, oh no, you're right in the hip pocket of the military-industrial complex. His answer to Brussels was similar. He too stressed securing the southern border and curtailing refugee flows along the patrols of Muslim neighborhoods. Well, I want to tell you something. I've been working on that border, trying to solve the border problem ever since the 60s, and I never got anywhere. Never. They always talk about solving it. They don't intend to solve it. They never did. They're making too goddamn much money off those Mexicans coming in. And with NAFTA, we're screwing the Mexicans, too. More than any time since 1940, America's commitment to its European allies is an issue in a presidential campaign. The tragic events of Brussels illuminate the folly of Mr. Trump's position. The Islamic State has targeted all Western democracies, along with Israel and the Sunni states of the Middle East. Well, how can you say illuminate the folly of Mr. Trump's position and then turn right around and say the Islamic State has targeted all Western democracies along with Israel and the Sunni states of the Middle East? It regards Belgians and Americans equally as enemies. Of course they do. Destroying the group, as Mr. Trump says, is necessary. It cannot be done without fighting its tendrils wherever they appear. Well, of course you do. I don't understand. A person that wrote this article must be brain dead. In Europe as well as the Middle East, in Africa, and in cyberspace. Well, you want a world war? There's a good world war. You don't have to even use atomic bombs. They always want a world war. However much they are reinforced, borders will provide no protection to Americans if jihadists are not defeated elsewhere. Well, that's bullshit. Of course, borders, if they're reinforced, and if the state borders are reinforced, and if the county borders are reinforced, it will provide plenty of protection. And if you have a shoot-on-site rule for the common people, that'll help too. Mr. Trump protests that NATO is costing us a fortune. Well, it's true. I mean, just look at the record. It costs us billions, trillions, and that the United States is no longer a rich country. No, in fact, it's a pauper country. Never mind that the nation is far richer than it was when the alliance was set up in 49. That is total bullshit. You cannot say when you're 18 to 20 trillion in debt that you're rich. I mean, you know, the average guy could say, "Oh hell, I'm $10,000 in debt. I'm rich." Or that the national debt as well as spending on defense are lower as proportion of the economy. This Washington Post is a total suck-ass of the military-industrial complex. To defeat the Islamic State, which is not really a state, they'd like it to be a state, without NATO's help would impose huge costs on Americans. Wait a minute. To defeat the Islamic State without NATO's help would impose huge costs on Americans, Britain, France, and Germany, among others? Well, of course. But NATO costs us a fortune. What do you think? NATO's free? Contribute materially to the war against terrorist entity in Iraq and Syria, not to mention NATO member Turkey. Oh, if we let NATO handle it, it'll be free. Won't cost us any money. How about that? You know, stupid assholes. Washington Post. Intelligence sharing among the allies, whoever that may be, is critical to disrupting plots in the United States as well as elsewhere. Well, if they don't use a lot of computers and they act like lone wolves and communicate very little, how are you going to catch them? Intelligence sharing, that means spying. Sure, you're going to get one once in a while, but you're not going to get enough of them because they can pull off some really bad shit and you'll never get to them. Mr. Trump told us he saw no advantage to U.S. foreign bases. I don't either. Close them down. Bring the troops home. Period. I'm beginning to like Trump a little more. No, I'm not going to vote for Trump. Yet without those provided by Turkey, the air campaign in Iraq and in Syria would be far less effective. Well, I'm sure the Russians will even it up. We don't need the Turks. We got the Russians. Yeah, Mr. Trump is not the only one to complain about the way the defense burden is divided among the NATO members. President Obama has also griped about free riders. The next U.S. president must keep pressing allies to spend more on defense. Everybody all over the world spend more on war, not defense, on war, and to commit to operations against the Islamic State bases in places such as Libya. They're not that hard to find. What is this the problem? You got a whole bunch of people gather in one spot and you can't find them? I mean, you know, you can't find lone wolves, but you certainly can find these concentrations of ISIS. But as you totally bomb out the bulk of the ISIS troops that collect in one or two spots, they're going to disperse and become all lone wolves. And then it'll be worse. Then it'll be worse, you dumb shits. But she or he must also accept the alliance won't function without U.S. dictatorship. I mean, leadership, yeah. Which inevitably means a larger role militarily and financially, get that, taxpayer, financially as well as politically. Got to spend more money, man. That's why the military-industrial complex loves these ISIS. In fact, they're probably setting them up and promoting them, because the best thing for arms makers and dealers is people to kill people, and then they can sell more weapons than you could imagine. To wit, quote, "Why are we always the one that's leading and spending the money?" unquote, complained Mr. Trump. Gotta agree with him there. The simple answer is that in the absence of that American commitment, chaos like that seen in Brussels will soon cross even our most fortified frontiers. No, as long as you spread war and chaos and regime change and taking over countries and causing living there to be untenable and blow up all their houses, that's your problem. That is your problem. And you're just denying that that even exists. You don't. None of these people, especially the right wing, none of them will say that. None of them will say, well, maybe because we have disrupted everything in all these countries and killed their leaders and everything and like that and bombed all the people and had all this collateral damage. They don't say that. That they don't even recognize that as a cause. I mean, it's so hypocritical and stupid and the lying bastards. I hate them. My answer is simple. Pull our troops out of the Middle East. Let the Muslims take care of their situation. If they want to go on warring, but put a law in there that you can't sell weapons into the Middle East. If you want peace, quit selling weapons to these people or giving weapons to these people. So you pull the troops out and you deny them the refurbish their military and more weapons, and they'll be forced to get their ass act together and straighten things out. That's the only way. Only way it's ever going to solve itself. And if they go on fighting among themselves with baseball bats and 22 rifles, so what? Same way in Africa. You don't want the niggers committing genocide? Don't give them weapons. Don't give them, sell them weapons. And we do. We give them millions of dollars in automatic weapons. And there's nothing as bad as niggers and automatic weapons, I'll tell you that. You want to see genocide? Well, I'll kill you ass. I'll rape your women. Because I got me a machine gun here. Well, I guess that's about enough of my ranting and raving and sounding like a crazy man. I don't give a shit. I say what I want to say what I think, and what I believe in, I talk about. If anybody else likes it, that's good. If they don't, well, they can kiss my white ass. Goodbye. 14-5. I have nothing to say. Get out of my face. Don't come in my door. Don't put your foot in my door. I'll shoot it off.